Hello, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Weird Mythic Podcast. And this is the second dragon episode in my dragon series. And I will let you guys know that this will be the last one for the next couple weeks for a dragon specifically, because I am dedicating all of October to all things spooky. So all the hauntings, all the paranormal stuff, ghosts, maybe an exorcism. I don't know, but it'll be fun. I'm also going to contact Serena. If you're listening, girl, text me. Otherwise, I'll be texting you next week just to see if you would be interested in being on a few of the episodes because I miss you. And October is spooky season, and I would like to have my spooky sister with me. This dragon episode I was really, really excited for because I wanted to just go ahead and look into Africa. I was thinking about saving it to the end because I knew that there was going to be some really cool dragons. Because legit, some of my favorite cryptids are in Africa. And that's because of the research that I've been doing for Weird Mythic Podcast. I know that there's cryptids all over the world, but I never really looked into the ones in Africa. And they have so far been some of my favorite. I knew that Africa was just going to be cool to look at for dragons. And I need to mention that we in Western culture always think of dragons as snakes and giant lizards. And we all need to keep in mind that a dragon can have many different forms or definitions, depending on the culture that you might be looking into. And this comes into play for Africa. So I want to start off with. There's five different types of dragons that we see in Africa. And actually, I'm sure there some of these dragons are in other parts of the world also, but I specifically found these five in Africa. I'm going to be pronouncing things. Go ahead and laugh at me, correct me in the comments, or send me something on weirdmythicpodcast@gmail.com. But here are the five different types of dragons we see in Africa. So we have an Ouroboros. Ouroboros. And this is, you usually see this as like a symbol of a serpent in a circle eating its own tail. So we will see some of those. There's also what is called a drake, which is a dragon with, but it's usually wingless and has four legs. It's also referred to a smaller or younger type of dragon. Then we have pretty much a hybrid with any sort of crocodile. There's also sea serpents. And great serpents. And the great serpents are usually guardians of water or of something very specific and sacred. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start off in Egypt. From the research that I have done, I noticed that much of the dragon myths originate or have a heavy influence from Egypt on the rest of Africa when it comes to dragon legends and dragon gods. Most African dragon lore has inspiration from crocodiles or pythons, plus more animals, but mainly those two. They are also giant, like way bigger than someone can really fathom. They are just huge cryptids, and usually has something to do with the supernatural. The first god I want to mention out of Egypt is Apep, or Apophis. He is known as the enemy of Ra, who is the sun god. I'm not going to get into all the gods in Egypt. I know I have like a very vague understanding of them, and I do usually have to do extra research. If you don't know who Ra is, he's like the sun god, the main one. Correct me if I am wrong. Apep is the shape of a serpent, and the Egyptian myth goes that when the sun sets, the sun must go under the earth. This is to travel to the other side of the earth. While the sun travels, it goes through a dark sea, and that is where Apep lives. Apep wants to swallow the sun and the god Ra, but every night, Ra is able to evade Apep and get away with the sun, which is his job, you know. Another serpent god, the god Neheb Kau, that's Nehebkau. Neheb Kau, who is depicted as a serpent but has human arms and legs, which really creeps me out, honestly. Neheb Kau guards the entrance to the underworld and helps guard the sun with Ra. He is also so large that the entire world rests on him. He is depicted with his tail in his mouth, aka an Ouroboros. The Egyptians also had Denwin, who is a serpent monster who is made out of fire. Denwin has been in Egyptian mythology for well over 2,000 years. Legend goes that a pharaoh had to stop Denwin from setting fire to books and temples, and that is why pharaohs are divine. Then we have the god Ekhet. That's Akhekh, Ekhek, who is actually a hybrid. Ekhek may be a reincarnation of the god Set, who is the god that has the body of a man but the head of a jackal or a dog. And not nice to the Egyptians, and he also brought chaos. Ekhek is a water god and seen to also be malevolent. Now, Ekhek has a serpent type of body, but also has four legs. Ekhek also has the body of an antelope with wings and a bird's head. So, considered a dragon because some of it is a serpent, but it also has parts of an antelope and a bird. Now, my favorite dragon out of Egypt is the god Amit, who has the head of a crocodile, body of a lion, and the lower body of a hippo. Which, no, thank you. I don't feel like getting into my fear of hippos right now because I will straight up cry. Those of you who know, please stop sending me videos of hippos, and I'd appreciate that. But Amit is pretty much a combination of the most dangerous animals in Africa. Amit is the devourer of the dead, eater of hearts, and great death. Amit lives in the Egyptian underworld, which is called Duat, and he lives near the scales of justice. Now, if you don't know, the Egyptians believe that when you die, you go to the underworld and you have to go to the scales of justice, where your heart is actually weighed against this feather. This feather is from a god, but I can't remember the name of the god right now. But if your heart is heavier than the feather, then that means you are really not pure and you can't move on to like heaven, paradise, the afterlife with all the good stuff. So, with that in mind, what happens to the heart when it's heavier than the feather? Well, it goes to Amit, and Amit either eats the heart or throws it into fire. Now, by the way, this would be like dying a second time to Egyptians. The soul becomes restless forever. Amit is feared by Egyptians as a god of destruction and a funerary deity. I found a dragon based out of Africa and made its way to the Caribbean into voodoo folklore, but I'll get into that in a different episode, obviously. But I did have to mention this. So, this dragon is also an Ouroboros from West Africa. In Dahomey, Dahomey. This is the rainbow serpent, Aedes Wedo. It's also known as the cosmic serpent. Now, Aedes Wedo, the rainbow serpent, was created before humans and helped with creating the universe. Aedes Wedo eats iron. It is a god of fertility, rainbows, wind, fire, water, wealth, thunder, and snakes. Now, newlyweds are known to give the Aedes Wedo offerings to ward off harm from the Aedes Wedo. The Fon people in West Africa believe that Aedes Wedo helped the goddess Maiulisa with creating the universe. And what he did was keep that goddess in his mouth as she shaped the earth. And as she was shaping the earth and he carried her, Aedes Wedo would have to like rest sometimes on the earth, which created canyons, rivers, and mountains. Now there are two halves of Aedes Wedo. One is male and red, while the other is female and blue. And together they hold up the earth, sleeping completely still to keep it up. Now, I learned something. And I want to know if you guys knew this, but did you happen to know that elephants and snakes used to be one creature? I didn't either. And according to Egyptian folklore, the elephant and the snake used to be one creature that was called a Groot slang. But the Egyptian gods thought the Groot slang was like a mistake and split it in two. Now, according to legend, there is the Great Snake Groot slang, and it is 40 feet long with diamond eyes. It lives near the Orange River in a large hole, or what is described as a bottomless pit that is filled with diamonds. You might be wondering which half was the serpent and the snake. The Groot slang had a snake body and an elephant head with tusks. And to be honest, it's pretty freaking terrifying. And I would not want to come into contact with this thing. And I'm gonna definitely post a picture on all the social medias. I thought I covered this cryptid in a previous episode called the Ninky Nanka. And I didn't, but I had to like go through my lists of episodes for cryptids just to make sure. But I have not covered the Ninky Nanka. Have covered the Inkanyamba from episode 28, if you want to go check it out. The Inkanyamba is the cryptid that lives at that waterfall in South Africa, and the Zulu people describe it as a giant snake with a horse head that, if you make eye contact with it, then that cryptid puts you pretty much in danger of death. But the Inkanyamba is not considered a dragon. The Ninkinanka is a dragon. It's a snake that breathes fire and is known to bring doom. And if you see the Ninkinanka and it sees you, that means you have between like this very second and 5 years and you'll just drop dead. It lives near the River Gambia, where it is known to eat people pretty much on sight. Its snake-like body is covered with reflective scales, adorned with a jewel on its forehead, and it has wings. The first dragon with wings in this series so far. The Ninkinanka has been compared to the size of a blue whale, and the Ninkinanka is sacred, but more importantly, respected in West Africa. I found an article that was about a hotel that was being built in West Africa, and the locals were telling the construction company that where they were building this, resort, a hotel, it was pretty much right on top of the home of a Ninkinanka. It lived in a giant hole that was going to be covered up, but the construction company decided to plant a tree over the hole instead, which the tree, it was a baobab tree, and that actually can't be touched because it's a sacred tree. So they figured planting the sacred tree over the hole of a Ninkinanka would actually keep it fine alone in the hole without coming out. Another myth about the Ninkinanka is that it lives in termite mounds, and when it comes out of one, it looks like just a giant fucking python. But then it shapeshifts into a rainbow, brings in the clouds and the rain. There's this story of a man and his son. They wanted to cut the head off the Ninkinanka. They started to climb its long neck, and the son was just much faster than the dad at climbing. He eventually passed him up. After a while, the son noticed that he's pretty much unable to hear his dad if he happened to be calling out to him, which means his dad can't hear him either. So he decides to send his words down to his dad, down the back of the Ninkinanka. He sent a message to his dad about his progress and where to meet at. The son then continues to climb for another 200 miles before he actually reaches the top of the Ninkinanka's rib cage. This is when the son decides that this is where he needs to start cutting. The son is able to cut off the head of the Ninkinanka, but what came after was very unexpected to the son and the dad. Now, the body of the Ninkinanka falls to the ground, but its head, along with the boy who's on it, floats up to the heavens. The boy and his dad are separated forever. When the boy tries to cut a path with his knife back to earth, the same knife that he cut the head off the Ninkinanka, this path is then destroyed with thunder, rain, and lightning. I did find some eyewitness accounts. There's an article from a Kiang West National Park ranger who claimed to have seen the Ninkinanka back in the early 2000s. I think it was around 2003. He stated that the Ninkinanka was over 160 feet long, black and green in color, with reflective scales. and a feather crest on top of its head, which is kind of like a horse head. The only reason that park ranger is still alive is because a holy man helped him out. However, there was another man who also saw the Ninkinanka. His name was Papa Jinda, and he unfortunately passed away within 2 weeks of the encounter. And I got all these articles in the show notes, so check them out. There is a great serpent in Ghana. For years, women were sacrificed to the serpent Bida. And because of the sacrifices, the dragon Bida would make it rain gold 3 times a year, which sounds like it would hurt because gold can be heavy at times. But I mean, come on, raining gold? Hell yeah. Just, stand or something. The sacrificial women would go to a sacred well outside of the city and wait. Bida would then rise his head out of the well 3 times, and on that third rise, he would then eat the woman. There is a story of this going wrong, though. There was a young woman who fell in line to be sacrificed, and her name was Sia Jatabaria. She was the most beautiful woman in Ghana. But Sia also had a lover, and his name was Mamamdi. Mamamdi did not want Sia Jata to be sacrificed, so he went to the sacred well with her. He stood behind the well, and as Bida came up from the well on that third time, Mamandi cut off Bida's head. As he cut off the head, Bida cursed Ghana and made no more golden rain. Really, really wanted to say golden showers, but I think that's a little inappropriate and probably a bit disrespectful. But anyways, after Mamandi saved Sia Jida, and then of course, Bida cursed the land of Ghana to never have any more gold. Mamandi and Sia Jada were actually chased out of the village because everyone was like, "Where? What the fuck, my dude?" So Mamandi was able to get both of them out of the village safely. However, it came to light that Sia Jada did not love Mamandi, not in the same way he loved her, at least. At one point, he even cut off his own toe and finger to ease her headaches. I don't have any more information on that story. But after that, if she still didn't love him, her reason was because how could she love a man with only 9 fingers and toes? Naturally, Mamundi was upset and went to Sia Jada's hair lady and had her put magic ointment on Sia Jada's head. This ointment made her fall in love with him. After the curse, Mamundi tricked Sia Jada into sleeping with a servant, which then made her die in shame. Just damn. Should have just made her the sacrifice, my dude. And very strange butterfly effect, if you ask me. He cuts the head off this snake that his woman is supposed to be sacrificed for to keep wealth in the country. Then they're both chased out of the country. The sacred snake curses the land, and then she ends up dying out of shame anyways. It's just a strange, weird butterfly effect that happened there, and it was such a cool story. One of the last dragons I want to talk about is Masingi, the great healing serpent in Mozambique. Masingi lives deep in a hole. In this hole is a beautiful cave where Masingi sleeps until he's called on for help. I love this story. There was a man named Maringana of the family Maxaba, and he became really sick. He was the head of the home and a very important member of the family. He couldn't eat and was fading fairly fast. Maringana had 5 sons, described as brave and strong. Maringana's wife and the mother of his 5 sons asked the boys to go to Masingi and ask him to restore their dad's health back. The oldest of the boys, whew, this is going to be hard to say, his name was Salateyana, went looking for Masingi. Legend goes that you must sing to Masingi, and that is what Maringana's oldest son did. He sang to Masingi, and he could hear him deep within the well. He was singing about needing help to heal his dad. When Masingi started to hear him, he then got all his magic herbs and potions together and went up to go see Nadaslanya. Like, I cannot pronounce that name. But when he saw Masingi's long snake-like body coming out of that hole, this great healing snake, he got really scared and just booked it home. So Masingin went back into his beautiful home since he couldn't hear the song anymore. After getting home, the oldest son was accused of not really wanting to help his dad to get better. And he was really aiding in the death of his dad at this point. His response to the rest of his family and to just anyone was, "Send somebody else because I'm scared." So it's now the second oldest son to go out. But the same thing happened. So the third and the fourth son then went out. Same thing. They got so scared of Missingy that they just took off running. So now it's the fifth son's turn to try to get Missingy to heal their dad. And his name, it's going to be hard to pronounce again, but Zikiabana. He was also his dad's favorite, so there was a lot of hope that he would be able to get Missingy to help. Now, what Zikiabana did differently was he stood far away from the well where Missingy came out of, and then he started to sing. Missingy could hear him, gathered up all his herbs and whatnot, and was coming out of the hole to heal Marangana. This time, Masingi slowly came out and started coming towards Zikibana, and he stopped at his feet. This Zikiambana showed no fear and continued to sing. The great serpent curled up around Zibiana's shoulders and went home with him. And the whole time, he continued to sing. As he walked through the town, everybody ran and hid. They got to Marigana's room, where it was just the three of them. Missingy then let go of Zibiana's shoulders. I know I'm pronouncing that differently every time. Got down off his shoulders, got his herbs and potions together, and then started to lick Marangana and applied the medicine to him. Now, the rest of the town started to kind of creep in and watch. And Marangana told them, "Don't be afraid, I'm being healed." And it actually worked. He regained all of his health. His family threw a huge feast with meat and lots of beer. Missingy stayed for the festivities and left after a few days. The Mexavana family gave Missingy flocks of birds. I'm guessing flocks of birds because it just said flocks and herds. But I had to look into this. And I'm like, herds of what? I'm thinking cattle. Well, I would be wrong. Because apparently goats are what is herded mostly in the Zonga culture. So I just gotta say that he probably just got a flock of birds and some goats. And this was in thanks for healing their family member. Now, Zikiabana sang to Masingi again, who went around his shoulders, who was then carried back to his home. And what Masingi did after that was leave Zikiabana with the herbs and potions that were used to help his dad, just in case he got sick again. You can see why that's my favorite story out of all of them. So, this episode wasn't as long as I wanted it to be, but I think it's because I talk fast. So, the next few episodes for all of October are going to be about all paranormal, spooky shit. I would really like you guys to send me all your feedback. Let me know of any other dragons you would like me to cover. I'll even come back to Africa if there's one that I missed that is really cool that you would like me to cover. Send me all your thoughts and all your feedbacks to all my social media, Weird Mythic Podcast on Twitter, Weird Mythic Podcast on Instagram. Don't forget to go to all my link trees, which has, my merch store attached to it with all the new logo shirts and whatnot. Weird Mythic Podcast on YouTube, Weird Mythic Podcast on TikTok, and please send me all the emails to weirdmythicpodcast@gmail.com, especially if there's a haunting or some sort of exorcism or ghosty, spooky stuff you want me to cover for all of October. Again, weirdmythicpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening. Bye.